Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
And is he here? I don't know.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. You're back to sounding like a robot again.
Yes, my headset was disabled, so you'll have to bear with me for this one.
Steve.
Yes.
Yes. We need more consistency, sir. More consistency in our robotic timbre. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Sean, with, as always, my co-host, Steve.
Hello.
Yes, I always forget to do that. I mean, I know we've been doing this podcast for nearly, how many episodes? Is it almost 200 at this point, or is it, I don't remember.
I have absolutely
Or is it almost 300 at this point?
I think it's almost 300 at this point.
Is it? Oh, man. I don't know these things. I try to know, but I don't know.
If you don't know, now you don't know.
Yes. Anyway, so we have a little bit to talk about. Nothing too crazy this week. One of our listeners did suggest something, which I think was pretty good.
Hit us up. Let's do it.
We can start off with that. That's not a big deal. But I did want to talk about, the only problem is that I have to access our Facebook group through Facebook.
Oh, no.
And it, as you know, it's the most mind-boggling thing ever. It hurts on so many levels to just access that page.
Yes, it does. It's terrible.
But the hold on a second. Let's see if I could do it this way. This might be a little easier. Maybe. Oh yeah. I did it.
It's legit like the labyrinth. You just gotta watch out for the Minotaur.
So Brandon Myers, who listens to our cast, I don't know if I necessarily would say he's a fan. But because I don't think we have fans so much as we have people who listen to the podcast and go, yes, I agree. And
we have gentle listeners.
Yes. And then there's also the people who just go, bah, they are too crude for me. I need more in-depth podcast knowledge about how to slap chop painting.
Didn't someone leave a review that was like they cuss too much or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. They're so vulgar. That was the word that was
vulgar,
used.
Vulgar, that's right.
Yes, they used an archaic term. The word,
it's fantastic.
Vulgar.
I mean, I like the word vulgar. It's good.
I mean, it's like vulgar, like literally translates to it means lacking sophistication, but I think it goes back to like biblical times, you know. It's someone who, like, this is a person who didn't believe that, you know, Jesus was the re-embodiment of God. They think that he was a human vessel. It's like some sort of really obscure sin.
We have biblically accurate potty mouths.
Biblically accurate potty mouths. It's just, it's our mouth with like a big eyeball in the center and like 18 wings coming out of it.
Yeah. And the spinning rings.
Yeah. The spinning rings going around it. Yes. Have you seen Nope yet?
I have not seen Nope yet.
So Nope to Nope.
Nope. Well, it's not a Nope to Nope. It's just it's a not yet to Nope.
Yes. It definitely has biblical accurate angels in it.
Oh, nice.
I mean, at this point, I'm not gonna to hide that from you, but I was really impressed with it. And I think a lot of people didn't like it for that very reason, like how it was oddly biblically accurate. It was more of a, it's like Signs. You remember how in the movie Signs, everyone was like, oh, it's aliens, but it wasn't aliens. It was actually, they were actually demons. That's what it's like in Nope, where everyone was like, oh, it's an alien but it's not. It's an angel is what it is.
Wait, they were demons in Signs? Wait,
Yeah.
whoa, hold on a second here. What?
Yeah, they were demons in Signs.
What?
Why do you think that? Okay, so, they why do you think they were affected by water? Because it was holy water. The water was blessed. Because remember, he used to be a man of faith.
But he didn't bless all those cups, unless
Yes,
you
but
think he
he.
was walking around blessing all those cups.
But he prayed to his wife to help him, and then the water became blessed, becoming holy water, which is how he was able to defeat the demons.
I'm flabbergasted.
Are you shook?
I am shook.
Yeah, that's basically it. It's like he just it was they were demons. That's why there was that stupid thing of like they were affected by water.
I figured that was just bad writing.
Well, that's there's also that as well. Anytime you have to like really extrapolate the meaning of something like that, it's not necessarily good. And they don't give a lot of clues to it. Like in Nope, there are a lot of fucking clues to show that they are that it's an angel as opposed to a anything else.
Alien.
Yeah, alien, monster, you know, something like that. There's a lot. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say necessarily there's a lot of clues because Jordan Peele's a much better filmmaker than M. Night Shyamalan. So he gives you the basics and says, you draw your interpretation out from what I've given you, but he does it enough where you're like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, if you pay attention and you understand what he's throwing out there, you can take it one of two ways, and the one way is smarter than the One way's for stupid people. So anywho, Brandon Myers, which I now have lost the page that I was looking at because I was looking up what's it called? Whatever, but so Brandon was basically saying like, how do you feel about people dressing up for games when they play, like at a convention. And I thought it was, and he framed it in terms of like, how do you feel about a person dressing up as like an Imperial officer to go play Star Wars Legion? Which totally happens all the time. Like people do dress up to play games at conventions. I mean, if you're dressing up as anything to go play at your local gaming store on like a Saturday night when it's just like, you know, open play, that's different. You know, if you're doing it for an event, though, that is a I think that's a relatively common thing, right?
Yeah, event-wise, sure, that makes sense. I see that. I see that there every now and then.
But what he was saying is like, how do you feel about the Imperial officers in so much as like they are now like completely Nazi analogs?
I mean, for
So is
me,
it
my question is like, what fucking Star Wars campaign is running as the Imperial side? Like, is that even a thing? That sounds terrible. It's like, okay, yeah, you lose to the fucking Jedi. Yay.
Well, it's a Star Wars Legion thing. So you do have the Imperials.
Oh,
You have
Legion. I was thinking RPGs.
no, and you yeah, you're playing like playing a mini game. So it's like it would be it's like the equivalent of like a someone coming into a Warhammer tournament dressed up as an Imperial Guardsman, right?
Right.
Though the Imperial Guardsmen themselves are not Nazis in the 40K universe. There are people who dress up as commissars and or officers who do have that slightly Hugo Boss Nazi-ish look.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like, in all honesty, I don't see it as being a big deal because you are in a gaming convention. They are not outright Nazis. They are a playable character race. Yes, they may take some things from Nazis because they might be the bad guys. But you know what? Because whatever faction you're playing might be the bad guys. But guess what? The Nazis were the bad guys. So, you know, anything that's modern and is bad is probably going to take a lot of hints from the Nazis because they are a good catch-all. These are the bad guys. And if you're playing at a convention, most people should have an understanding that you're cosplaying as a character or something from whatever setting you're gaming at.
But Joe, everyone brings something to
Yeah.
the
Here's where I draw the line. Are you acting while you're in cosplay? Or are you just like, hey, I'm in cosplay, you know, it's like, whatever. It's not like I'm walking around saying, you know, like, you know, shouting all Xenos must die, you know, I mean, sometimes that happens when you're playing the game, but, you know, you should be extra careful when you're in uniform to in costume to understand what you're playing now.
Yeah. For me, I just don't care. That's where I'm on that one.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, people do care when like, you know, that people are, I don't want to say extra touchy because that's not the right thing to say, but people are extra aware of these things in this day and age because people like to, it's not, I guess it would be a slight dog whistle to, like, you know, I know plenty of people who play these minis games who are utterly trash human beings who are, would be in the January 6th riots totally if they could afford it, except for the fact that they've been unemployed for 2 years because they got fired from the last job for saying something completely inappropriate to someone they shouldn't have said it to. So they couldn't afford the ticket to go to the Capitol. So as most people who went to the Capitol were people who were fairly well off and couldn't understand why they had to pay taxes.
I thought it was about the fact that they couldn't get a haircut for like 3 weeks.
That too. But it's no, it's more of like, I own a successful trucking company. Why should I have to pay taxes to repair roads? I'm going to go riot in the Capitol, you know. It goes to show like that sociological phenomenon of why truly successful people are often really the dumbest people on the planet, because it's, they don't know, they can take those extra chances to become successful, while most people are like, I don't know if I should do that. It seems like kind of a gamble. Maybe I shouldn't. And so they don't take the gamble, and then they don't become, you know, richer than they should. But it's the dumb people who either become rich or become poor because they make the dumb choices.
This is true.
And sometimes it's a 50-50 shot. As you know, it's monkey throwing darts.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, there are people in the gaming world who would go do that and be completely inappropriate. But most of the time, I would say for most non-real world things, as long as you're not being a complete and utter douche and you actually put time and effort into your costume, why not? It's cosplay. It's fine. You're going to be uncomfortable standing there for 4 hours in costume playing a game, but hey, that's on you. But there are, trust me, there are, what's the word I'm looking for? Exceptions. That one exception I can think of is if you are playing a World War II game. If you are playing a World War II game, don't come dressed as a Nazi.
Yeah, I would say if you're playing a historical game, don't come dressed as anything other than yourself.
I mean, I've seen people come dressed as U.S. Army, you know, like World War II.
I mean, that's not blatantly like, oh, God, but it's still kind of cringe.
It's cringe. Well, I think cosplaying in gaming and not like if you're actually playing a game and you're going in cosplay, that's a little on the cringe side. I don't think it's wrong. I think people can get into the game however they want. Cosplay in general, I don't think is cringe. But I think I've been on record before saying I love bad cosplay. Like if you come as like Iron Man and you got like a bucket for a helmet, I think that's hysterical.
Yeah, your armor is just spray painted paper plates.
Yeah, or cardboard. You know, like bad cosplay. It's like, you know what? Let the person do their bad cosplay. And I like that they will sometimes get more attention than the person who put thousands of dollars into their costume. Like, yes. That makes me laugh more than anything. It's like, haha, yes, you put effort into something that you like.
That's great.
Yeah. I'd never, ever come dressed as a historically fascist symbol. Like, don't do Nazis. Don't do anything on the Axis in World War II.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't do the historical cosplay. Yeah. I think that's weird.
Yeah, and
I think it's less weird to come dressed as a Sailor Scout from Sailor Moon than any historic cosplay.
I would like to see that as well. But I mean, like, you know that Chicagoland used to have a huge historical reenactors convention. Not too far. It used to be a Pheasant Run all the time.
Reenacting is a little different because that's like a different thing. But like,
I mean, it's half dozen of one, six of the other.
it's like I get it. But that at least like I can 100% be like, okay, well, yeah, that makes sense because they're reenacting a battle, so everyone has to dress appropriately. Like, sure, okay, like
no, but what I'm saying,
follow the through line for that.
Well, no, what that convention was like, here are period appropriate costumes that you can buy. Here's source material, buttons, threads, you know, all of that stuff. They would actually have all that stuff there to buy. And then they would have contests about like reenacting groups about who would have the best or most accurate. There was some really cool stuff there. I always liked going to that convention. I don't do any sort of reenacting or even, you know, wear costumes on a regular basis. So, but I just always found it fascinating to go look at the older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And so like, let's look at this. Fictional fascists. Okay. As long as you're not playing in character. Real fascists. No, not at all. Never. Not once. Let's be fair. If you are playing as a World War I German with a pickle hob, be careful on that because people are dumb and they don't understand that there was not really bad guys in World War I. Everyone did really bad things in World War I. It just so happened that the Germans lost, so they got cast as the bad guys for many, many years in World War I. And I will stand by it that, trust me, the British, the Americans, the French all did horrendous things on par with the Germans in World War I. Everyone was bad. And
the Germans had the best hats, though. No question.
Yeah, it's with the spike on it.
Yes, the Kaiser helm.
Yeah, the pickle helm. Halb.
Yeah.
And then I will say, late World War I Germans, which happened to look kind of just like the World War II Germans. Yeah, so just stay away from that altogether because people are dumb. They wouldn't be able to recognize it. Like, this is a World War I German outfit. You could tell because there's a slight difference here. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Just come dressed as the Red Baron.
Yes. Now that is great. And then the don't do Confederate soldiers either. Not in this day and age.
Not in any day and age. They're fucking losers.
Yes. Well, but that, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it was far enough away that it should be okay, but the problem is not necessarily the soldiers themselves. Yes, they were awful people, but it's more of that people still hold that as a symbol of like really nasty, stupid things.
Right.
Believe in. I'm sorry.
Like I said before, that war didn't actually end. It just went cold.
Yeah. I mean, we have learned.
The Union were cowards and did not execute every single Confederate soldier to a man.
And the symbolism of the Confederacy has we have learned in this day and age that they are still around and there are people who still identify with that symbolism. And let me explain as a well-off middle-class white kid of what I saw the Confederate symbol as when I was watching Dukes of Hazzard on, you know, a weekday afternoon in the summertime.
Some Duke boys getting in trouble again.
Like, I was always like, oh, the Confederate flag symbol, you know, it's a symbol of, you know, a lost attempts at freedom and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, no one actually believes that, you know, in slavery anymore. You know, I'm a naive white kid from the suburbs. No one believes in that. And now as an adult, I'm like, oh God, people still believe in this. What's wrong with
they
people?
Do.
Yeah.
They certainly do.
So that's I guess we'll talk about politics right off the bat on that one. But that's
them Duke boys. Them Duke boys are in trouble again. They went to that Unite the Right rally.
Exactly. Just the good old boys. Storming Capitol Hill. Oh God, why is Uncle Jesse in Nancy Pelosi's office? Oh God. Oh, they suck on so many levels. So yes, that's kind of my feeling on it. I don't know if you believe anything different. I think your feeling is that don't wear anything because you're there to game.
Yeah, I'm in on that one. Like, just fucking, you're playing minis games, bro. Like, don't worry about it. just play the game.
Exactly. I would say, you know, you have your fun however you want to have your fun, but it shouldn't affect anyone else's fun. And if you're dressing up as a Nazi, you're obviously going to be screwing up someone's fun. If your costume is too bulky that you can't roll dice fast enough, your costume is dumb and you shouldn't wear it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, or you shouldn't wear it while you're fucking gaming.
Yeah, you shouldn't wear it while you're fucking gaming. But that's kind of how I look at it. And like, trust me, I know enough people who dress as stormtroopers to tell you there is no good way to wear a stormtrooper outfit and do anything other than just walk around. And walking around in a stormtrooper outfit is horrible, apparently.
Like, okay, if you're wearing a costume, that means that you're like, you want to have pictures and like, you know, be approached by people, right? Like, that's yes. Like the whole idea of being like a cosplayer, and that's fine. That's totally valid. You know, you get to, you're, you know, we're all nobodies and you get to be a somebody someday because your costume's really cool. Like, you know, that's a thing. I totally get that. I don't get trying to apply that while you're playing games. Cause it's like, if you're playing games, people, you know, people are going to come by and like, if they might ask for pictures, and it's like we're on a schedule here. We have a time limit to play our game.
Yeah, I understand that. And especially if the person is like, I'm playing an all cultist army for 40K, so I have 600 figures on the table.
Exactly.
And then they're like, oh, wait, I have to take this picture with this fan.
Yes, exactly. That's not, I'm not about it. I'm not about that life.
I agree, Steve. I agree. So yeah, that was kind of like he posed that to us, and I thought it was an interesting question. It's one of those things that if you can do it, I'm not gonna yuck your yum. You do whatever the fuck you want to do, but just
for me, whole thing is I think it's disruptive to the game. It damages the integrity of the game.
Yeah, I could see you getting upset with that. However, normally when I'm gaming at a convention, I'm like about, I don't want to say two sheets to the wind and probably a little high. I try not to get too high whilst gaming because I got to keep my faculties about me a little bit. But it depends on the game and, you know, what we're doing in the game. So, I can't say too much on that one. But yeah, that's there's definitely, you have to pay a little bit of attention to. All right. So that was that. I think I don't want to say discussion, but it's a good thing to think about when you're doing it. People are going back to conventions. People are going back and they're gaming in the stores. So, oh, by the way, my little gaming group finally decided on what game we're going to play now.
Oh yeah. What are you going to play?
Stargrave.
Oh, nice.
It's the sci-fi Frostgrave.
Yes, 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 yes. I've heard good things.
And I will tell you, as a person who's played both Frostgrave and Stargrave, they're the exact same fucking games.
Well, that explains why I've heard good things, because people like Frostgrave.
Yeah, I think my main complaint with Frostgrave and Stargrave, and I've said this on the podcast before, is that the point of the game is like, get the box off the table, which, but every single scenario is that there are three boxes on the table. Go and get the boxes and get them off the table. The game ends when all three boxes are off the table. And it's kind of like, I understand that, but then it becomes, all right. So let's get deep into this real quick.
All right,
so my Stargrave, Frostgrave problems with the game. My problems with the game have nothing to do with the mechanics of the game. I think the mechanics of the game are super fun, fast, and they play very well. The campaign system works. I think it's better than old school Necromunda, old school Mordheim. I think it works faster. I think there's a lot more fun play with it. I think that some of the scenarios are pretty fun. They can get very boring very fast, though. And here's the problem with it, Steve. Here's my problem.
I'm ready.
The basis of the game is that you place one treasure token in the center of the board, right?
All right.
Then you will place four other treasure tokens around the board, right? Two of them have to be on your opponent's side. Two of them have to be on your side. They have to be 6 inches apart from each other, and they have to be like 6 inches from the side of the board. I'm not 100% on the measurements, but that's, so let's just assume that. Because if you're playing against people who know how to play these games, the tokens will always generally be on a line in the center of the board.
Right.
Because you don't want to place a token too close to an opponent's, you know, side of the board where they can get it.
Right.
And you don't want to you want them close enough to your side of the board that your guys could run up and get it if necessary. Here's the problem with that. A game just becomes dodgeball, where everyone at the beginning of the game is running towards the center line to get these tokens.
I see.
It's a scrum in the center. Now, the way the game is intended to be played, as Joseph McCullough is intending the game to be played, there should be a lot of terrain on the board, and you know it should be difficult to get around the terrain and get it up and get the stuff, and you could put it in certain places that'll make it difficult for your opponent to get the board and get the stuff. I get that, but that's not always the case, because most people who are playing these games don't have a lot of nice terrain. They have computer part styrofoam. They have random pieces of boxes and everything else that they are using for the terrain. I am lucky. I am playing with a group that has some fantastic terrain. Some of the best terrain you will ever see is in my gaming group, because the person running the gaming group is probably one of the best painters and builders of all time in Games Workshop. I take that back. That goes to our probably Rob would probably be the best one. Rob Hawkins, I'm sorry, Rob. You know,
creator,
you
can content runner of the Rob Hawkins Hobby Club.
Yes, the Rob Hawkins Hobby Club.
It's our Rob Hawkins.
Yes, if you go to the Rob Hawkins Hobby Blog, you will see some beautiful stuff. Tim, however, I would say is very close. It's neck and neck. Rob might even defer to Tim, because I know they know each other. So there's some very nice, beautiful terrain that you could play with, blah, blah, blah. But in most scenarios, it can get really boring really fast. So it's always like, oh, this time we're playing on an alien planet where we have to get five treasure tokens. Yay. This time we're playing in a factory where we have to get five treasure tokens. Yay. So it's not
the yay gets less enthusiastic each time.
Yeah. So you know, it'll be a good one. I've already built up my warband. I use my old squat models. You can see them on the Instagram. You could see them up there. But yeah, it's a well-designed rule set. It should sometimes be about more than getting the treasure tokens. Sometimes maybe it's like an assassination, like you have to kill your opponent's leader. Like almost like, I think what might be good is randomized secondary objectives. How about that? So you have your primary objectives will always probably get the treasure tokens. But let's say the people, makers of Stargrave, I think it's Osprey who puts out the book. But let's say Joseph McCullough puts out, like, here's a deck of randomized secondary objective cards. And then, you know, you pull a card and your opponent pulls a card. And these are your secondary objectives. They're hidden. If you achieve this, you get X. Right?
I like it.
So that, and I think that would add an element to the game that would at least freshen it up. So, or like maybe that's your primary objective deck and the secondary objective is getting the treasure tokens off the board sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I kind of think. One of the other things that McCullough has done five rule sets that are pretty impressive. He did, Frostgrave, which is his first one, Stargrave, Silver Bayonet, which is the Napoleonic one I've talked about before, and I really
with
like
werewolves. That one sounds hilarious.
Werebears. goblins, vampires, Draculas.
Goblins in Napoleonic outfits are the best. So, I mean,
exactly. So yeah, you have that one. Then you have Shadows of Rangers of Shadow Deep. Have you heard of that one?
I've not heard of that one. No.
Rangers of Shadow Deep is essentially, it's a co-op game. I haven't read too deep into the rules. I've actually just picked them up, but you and the other players are playing against the auto-generated monsters, like the game monsters. Like you're not actually playing against each other. You're working together, and it seems kind of like dark fantasy, dark Euro fantasy, like Elden Ring, or like what we were talking about last cast with, you know, all the Dark Souls games.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah, but it looks like more of, I would say that the feel is like Tolkien mixed with dark Euro fantasy.
Okay,
feel to it. So that looks interesting. We're looking into that one. He also did Oathmark, which I believe is kind of like a mass fantasy battles game. I haven't even looked at that rule set before.
No, same.
Yeah. So yeah, Oathmark looks interesting, and I know that it's like a, hey, mass fantasy battles don't exist anymore on square bases. This is going to be your opportunity to play that and not do Kings of War.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know why you would play a mass fantasy battle and not play Kings of War, because Kings of War is pretty, I don't want to say perfect, it has a lot of flaws, but it's the best one you're probably going to get.
Yeah, well, I mean, the latest edition, actually, there's another edition coming out. The next edition is like due soon, but I had the most recent one, the third edition, and I have to say, like, they really, really cleaned up that game since I'd been playing it, because like they I don't know if they hit every issue I had, but they hit most of the issues I had, where like they really, like, you can't just play the, like, I'm playing an army of 18 single stand werewolves because this is the most efficient thing to do. Like they basically kiboshed that with the army building rules.
Yeah,
which is really good. And it as long as they fix the balance of the game, which it sounds like they did as well, I think that's like the easy, like, you should just be playing Kings of War, really.
Well, yeah, and I think Kings of War actually does things pretty well, because I know that they pay attention to their community. So, like, the community is saying, like, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. They're like, oh, shit, we got to fix this problem. But they do it in the British way, which is not like, we're going to immediately fix this. It's like they take, like, a year, develop a rule set around it, and then put it out in the next edition and hopefully fix it, which can kind of be a problem. But they do listen. They do try and fix things. And the nice thing is also is they put out all of their rule sets at once. And they don't usually put out like a new rule set, like a new army list. When they do, it's very rare, because
generally everything comes in just the main book, and you have everything in the book.
Yeah, so that way that they can proofread it fairly quickly,
mm-hmm. You know, and also test the balance against one another, because all the rules are done at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, and they have a lot of people playing a lot of those games, so they could figure out if something's a problem. And usually, as we all know, gamers are the first ones to say, like, hey, this is a problem. this is not good.
Yes.
And then there's also people who are like, this is great. This is the best way to play this army. You know, I'm taking all the werewolves.
And then, of course, it's the same thing. It's just like, well, technically, the rules say you can see the invisible. It doesn't say anything about negating the bonus for being invisible. So. Yes. He still has his defensive bonuses.
Yes, that's the Joe way of playing. It's like, wait a second. It doesn't say that invisible negates all of that.
Yeah.
What is it? It just says you can detect invisibility. It doesn't say that you eliminate all the bonuses of invisibility. That's what it
is. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's what the invisibility problem is. So that's getting back to what I was saying with Oathmark, I haven't even read the rule book on Oathmark yet. I don't know how it plays. I just know that there are a plastic range of figures that are designed around them that are actually pretty nice if you look at them. I don't know. Have you ever seen the Oathmark figures?
I have not.
Yeah, they're actually really nice. I don't know who makes the actual figures for it. I'm gonna take a look. because we're in front of a computer, so I can look and see who puts out Oathmark. It's North Star Figures. So yeah, it's the same people who do the what's it called? The Frostgrave plastics, which are super nice.
Yeah, they're nice. I love their Knowles box.
Yeah, the Frostgrave ones and the Stargrave ones are all fucking fantastic. If you like that old school kind of chunky ham hand feel to your plastics, they put out the really nice stuff. But yeah, they have like, you know, really nice orcs, really nice goblins, really nice dwarves, just really good plastics altogether. I mean, we lament that Games Workshop no longer does square bases and puts out plastics for square base figures. But you know what? Yeah, there's plenty of really, really good alternatives. It's just that we have this mental block in our head that says it doesn't say Games Workshop on it, so therefore it's crap.
I don't have that.
What's the thing where it's like, if it doesn't say blood, it's shit.
Oh yes. I don't remember.
It's if it doesn't say Sega, it's shit.
Yeah. If it's not Sega, it's shit.
And that's kind of like how we feel in our heads because we're raised on this propaganda that Games Workshop puts out the best models. Yes, Games Workshop puts out really, really nice stuff. Games Workshop has a lot of problems with their stuff, too. No Space Marine model should be 12 parts for a single model.
But Joe, the customization!
The customization! No, that's why it's like, when I build my figures in 3D that I print off, because I'm not giving them any more of my money, yes, there's like 12 parts that I put together in 3D, but I put them all together and then I fuse them as one model and print them all out as the one model. And guess what I never have to do? Assemble fucking Space Marines. Actually, I print out my Space Marines in two parts because I do the model as one and then I do the backpack as the other part, because that way you get better detail on it. Hint for you for your 3D printing.
And I'm putting a little backpack on this man.
I'm putting a backpack on them. Yeah. And it's that way you could get nice and you don't have a lot of sprue, a lot of the 3D sprue marks on them. Because I'm dealing with that right now.
This is Brother Icarius. His backpack has sausages in it.
Sausages. Oh. But yeah, so if you like the Norse, and if you want to do square basing, take a look at it, because you know what? McCullough does good rules. It's like they're not designed to be super competitive, but they're designed to be fun. These are designed to be like your gaming group is going to do something for. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Nothing now. I was opening a package.
Oh. I'm glad. But as I said, if your game group wants to do something like over three or four sessions, you can look at Frostgrave, Stargrave, Rangers of Shadow Deep, Silver Bayonet. Those are all great like 1 month games. Like you don't have to put that much effort into getting the figures together. You just put it together and you play out that way. The Oathmark. If you want a mass battle system, I'm probably still going to recommend Kings of War over Oathmark, but I don't know the Oathmark rules. They might be much better. All right. Yeah. I gotta end it here and restart.
All right. Very good. Hello.
Hello. He's back.
And I heard the recording in progress. So we're all set.
Yes, we are all set. You know what's something I wanted to talk about that I've been meaning to in the last few casts? I wanted to do a mea culpa and apologize to Star Trek Lower Decks.
Oh.
Yeah, because I think in the past I've said that I did not like Lower Decks.
You have said that, yes. Because yeah. I brought up how much I loved it, and you were like, no, it's terrible.
I am not going to say that it is a great Trek show. I don't think it really gets the spirit of Trek. But I do, I've gone through the first two seasons and I do enjoy it much more than I had in the past. Thank you for once again opening packages on Mike. So yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to just mention is that I enjoy it. I like a lot of the references. I still don't think it's very good Trek, and I don't, the problem is you can't do a show like that when you don't have good Trek shows on the air to counterbalance it.
Right, right.
And I think part of Strange New Worlds being as good as it is balances out the fun of Lower Decks. When you have the shit shows of Discovery and Picard out, you're gonna bring it down, because you're like, oh, these people don't understand Star Trek at all. But then they show Strange New Worlds and you're like, oh, they understand Trek. So let's do this so we can make fun of that as well, which I appreciate at that point. I do also like the fact that they did bring in Riker and just had him playing like the trombone the entire time.
Yeah. It's like, how often did he use trombone? Actually an uncomfortable amount of time.
Yes, that makes me that made me giggle as much. There were certain ones where I was like, oh, well, that's like this episode from, you know, blah, blah, blah. I also like that they talked about the that the oil monster from Skin of Evil.
They were like, oh, yeah. They prank called him.
Yeah, they prank call him, which I found hysterical.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Let's prank call Armus.
That's what his name is, Armus. Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, they're like, ooh, I'm Armus. I'm a big pile of goo. And he's like, who is this? Oh, I'll get revenge on you. I am strong.
I am Armus.
I am Armus. Yeah. It was fucking great. I was laughing pretty hard at that too.
And speaking of, you know what I started watching? The new Willow.
Oh, is it good?
Yes. It's right. Very generic fantasy right now. I've only watched the first episode, and I think there's two episodes out. Mm-hmm. It is very generic, like, we're the good guys and we have to go fight the bad guys kind of feel to it. My one observation that I wanted to point out, the sword fighting was actually like the sword fighting hand to hand combat stuff that I saw was actually pretty good. I liked it quite a bit.
Right.
It was definitely, it was really funny though, because they had the two main female characters like practice sword fighting, but they had masks on to protect their faces. But you could tell that it was obviously two very different people sword fighting.
Nice.
Like it was two like professional sword fighters fighting, and then they like took the masks off in like right after a cut. And I was like, yeah, I saw what you did there, Disney Plus.
So nice.
My one complaint about the show though. Oh, wait, before I get into complaints, let's talk about one more good thing. The bad guys so far are hysterically, like, generic fantasy chaos guys. Like,
oh, nice.
They're definitely, like, we're going to look at some John Blanche artwork, and these are what the bad guys are going to look like. And I actually kind of adore it, but it was like...
Well, I mean, the skull mask general ass dude looked like a Frazetta painting in the first one.
Exactly. So that's what I think. Like they went back and they were like, let's look at some like crazy fantasy art from the 1980s and make all the bad guys look like that. And I'm really all about it. I was like, oh, yeah, some of these designs are amazing.
That's sweet.
But there's like one guy who has like a cage around his head. And I'm like, oh, this is something straight out of Warhammer fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But my one complaint is that the accents are all over the fucking place. Like they don't try and do like, okay, everyone's going to do a generic British received BBC received accent, just like kind of like most TV shows do. Right. Like no matter where you are in the world, everyone's going to kind of have this generic British fantasy accent.
Right.
But they're just like, everyone just talking your normal accent. It's fine. And so you have like, Joanne Whalley, who is, you know, she's back as playing Sorsha. She's kind of doing her American accent, but it's like American tinged with British. And then you have her daughter, who's the main character, who has a completely American teen accent. So she sounds just like my daughter. So that's kind of like, okay, that's fine, I guess. But then you have the daughter's friend, who's played by... What's her name face? She's in Solo, and she was in Captain America and or Falcon and the Winter Soldier. She's just like this new up and coming actress, but she's got like a really funky British accent. And then you have this other guy who's got kind of a another type of British accent. Then you have Ray Innes, who's from The Witch, and a couple other things. He's got his really weird British accent from like a different part of Britain. So you have all these.
Swithin's Day already.
Yeah, it's like you have a person like, I'm going to talk like I'm from Liverpool and we're all going to live in this castle together. And then you have this other guy who's definitely got like a Yorkshire accent. I can't do Yorkshire accent, but then you, you
that
know,
was like immediately Australian.
Yeah. I went immediately like, yeah, you have a guy with an Australian accent, like good day, mate. We're off to find Willow, you know? And it's like, then you got a New Zealand accent and then you have like Warwick Davis shows up and he's got his accent. And it's like, we're, this is just kind of distracting at this point. Why do all these people sound so different from each other? And that might just be me because I pay attention to this sort of thing, but it's very weird and distracting.
Yeah. I can see it.
And definitely in the first episode, Warwick Davis shows up and I'm like, Warwick Davis can act better than this. What the fuck is going on? You are the greatest.
You are the greatest. Out of the way, Peck.
Out of the way, Peck. It's definitely missing. There is a Val Kilmer surrogate in the show who definitely who's kind of like that character, but you definitely need the Val
Mad
Kilmer.
Mardigan stand-in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely need the out of the way, Peck.
Out of the way, Peck.
Oh no, he's got an acorn.
This Peck's gonna throw an acorn at me. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I look forward to watching the rest. It looks like generic low fantasy, which I always appreciate. Who doesn't like generic low fantasy?
Unhappy people. That's it.
Yes, unhappy people. It's like the same people who don't like the Lord of the Rings show, even though that's high fantasy, but it's kind of just generic high fantasy. So.
High fantasy, not low fantasy.
Yes. Yeah. Even though the lines of high fantasy and low fantasy are kind of blurred in this day and age, I think you could definitely say that Willow is low fantasy, Lord of the Rings is high fantasy. Actually, I think you could say Willow is kind of high fantasy, but it's not really.
Willow's in like, no, Willow's, I think Willow's low fantasy because Mercury, like mages are super rare, magic items are super rare.
Yeah, and there's like a history to the world, and they're playing.
Majority of the enemies are human.
Yeah, I always see like high fantasy and low fantasy in terms of scope, and like low fantasy is kind of like Dragon Slayer or
Dragon Slayer, that movie's fucking dope.
A Conan. Conan is good low fantasy. Just because it's about a guy going around killing stuff. I have to get the jewel. Yeah.
Yes. You have to get the jewel.
You get the jewel. And then you have, and high fantasy is like, there's an ancient evil that's being awoken, and then we have to find the prophesized one who's going to help us. Like, that's kind of what high fantasy is always.
I see. For me, it's always magic level. Like, for me, a high fantasy is like everyone in the party has magic items. You know, magic swords. D&D is high fantasy because there's just fucking magic everywhere. Every party's got a fucking wizard. You know, that's to me is like, it's like the frequency of like how much magic is out there. Because like Game of Thrones is low fantasy, and then suddenly there's a fucking army of undead. So like, it's like, yeah, that's low fantasy where it's like the majority of your story does not have magic stuff, and suddenly it's just like, oh shit, there's a fucking shit ton of magic here.
Oh shit, there's magic.
Yeah. Oh shit, there's magic.
That's kind of what I think. Well, so Wikipedia, according to Wikipedia, low fantasy is in which magical events intrude in an otherwise normal world, in contrast to high fantasy stories, which take place in completely fictional worlds. So if it's an all fictional world, it would be high fantasy. I don't necessarily agree with that. I say high fantasy takes place in the mountains and low fantasy takes place in the valleys. So what it's actually based on height.
It's based on height. So my story, my fantasy story is in the Marianas Trench.
Yes. That's the lowest of fantasies. No, right. I'd say that Willow is actually low fantasy because it involves little people.
I see.
So if there are so if your fantasy contains hobbits, halflings, gnomes, then it's low fantasy. if you have humans and elves, it's high fantasy because they're higher up. They're taller.
Okay, what if the story is about hobbits tripping balls on mushrooms?
Then it's the Smurfs.
Nice.
All of our Dutch listeners right now are very upset with us for making that reference.
Is it because you didn't say, well, the Snorks? You didn't say there were Snorks?
Are the Smurfs are from Denmark, right? Are they from the Netherlands? Or no, they're from Belgium. All of our Belgian listeners are upset with us.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could do a Belgian accent, but my Belgian accent probably just sounds French. They're like, oh, these Americans, they make fun of the Smurfs. Oh, I do not like that.
That
but
was
they do make fun of the British. Oh.
That was like 10,000% French.
I know, but it's like my whole thing about Belgium.
Listen here, Belgium listeners, don't be angry at us. I love your waffle.
They didn't even invent it. They invented the French fry.
Now you're trying to take the glory of Belgium away.
We already did that. They invented the French fries, and we took that away from them. Gave it to the French.
I had the pony. It was the pride of Krakow.
My thing with the Belgians is that all of my everything I've been informed about Belgium comes from one source, and that is the Poirot mysteries. And so, in Poirot, they always just confuse him for French. So that's just where I take it from.
I'm from Belgium.
Yeah, I am Belgian. And he's got he's got that big funky mustache.
Nice.
I mean, let's be fair. You know, now I think all of our European listeners will agree that Belgium should just be dissolved. We'll split up. The French can take the French part, the Germans can take the German part, and we'll just eliminate that country altogether. How about that? Just it'll be less confusing to the important countries like America.
You're a Belgian accelerationist.
Our one Belgian listener will be like, I take offense to this. I'm not gonna go eat my French fries dipped in mayo. And eat some mussels.
Yeah, I can't do the fries in mayo. It's not very good.
I like mayo mixed in with other stuff. So if like you take a little bit of mayo, a little bit of ketchup, you add some spices to it, you get yourself.
Yeah, then that's just fry sauce.
You get yourself a good fry sauce, right? I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. However,
just like
the plain
mayo is a dip. Yeah, it's just, and then, like I said, I think I like mayo, but I really feel very strongly that mayo is a complementary condiment. It's not a standalone.
You know, when like Europeans make fun of Americans for like how we dip everything in ranch. You know, we have a side that comes with a side salad. What type of dressing would you like? And they're like, what kind of dressings do you have? And it'll be like, well, we have American and we have French. We have Russian. We have Italian dressing. We have oil and vinegar. We have ranch. We have blue cheese. And the guy's just like, I'll have ranch every time. that's America. I think that Europeans are kind of like, well, what kind of sauce would you like to dip your fries in? Mayo. I will have the mayo.
The mayo.
I like to dip my French fries in a mix of vinegar and egg. Yes. And egg whites.
Egg whites.
Which is fine. Mayo is fine. And the mayo in Europe is very different than the mayo we have in America. We have Hellmann's and Duke's. And people who say that Duke's is better than Hellmann's, whatever, they're the same fucking shit.
No, when you bring out the Hellmann's, you bring out the best.
You bring out the best. What about the Miracle Whip?
Oh, fuck it. I hate Miracle Whip.
Really?
Miracle Whip's so gross.
Oh. I know, it's not like something I enjoy regularly, but I do occasionally like a nice... My thing with Miracle Whip is you got to have like a ham and cheese sandwich, which is the Miracle Whip. That's it. Just ham and like some cheddar cheese and some Miracle Whip.
I do not do the Miracle Whip, man. I think the Miracle Whip's so gross.
I don't find it that gross. I mean, it's not like something I have in my fridge right now, but it's On occasion, if I'm like, I stop in at a deli or something like that, and I want a quick sandwich, that's just a good one to go with. And it takes like 2 seconds to make. Like, I don't always need an Italian hoagie for that.
The Miracle Whip is all yours, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, like, you go into there and they're always like, you want lettuce and tomato on that sandwich? And you're like, you think to yourself, like, yes, I should have lettuce and tomato on the sandwich. But you know what they do? They always cut the tomato too thick and they put in shredded lettuce, which is like the glitter of the fat man world. Shredded lettuce is the glitter of the fat man world. It gets fucking everywhere. You're picking lettuce out of folds in your body for weeks after eating a sandwich with shredded lettuce in it.
I do hate shredded lettuce, especially in a sandwich. Like, that's like the last place you should use shredded lettuce. You need a nice big ass leaf of lettuce on your sandwich. That's how it's done.
Some nice, not too crunchy iceberg lettuce is what you need. Or, you know what? I like some leafy greens. Give me some spinach on that sandwich. I'm okay with
some
that.
Some spinach? Give me the spinach.
Yeah, give me some spinach on that sandwich. I'm okay with that. But don't give me this shredded lettuce bullshit. Like, if they insist on putting shredded lettuce on a sandwich, I say, easy on the shredded lettuce. And you say, what does that mean? I say, take my sandwich, show it the shredded lettuce, and then give me the sandwich. That's how much shredded lettuce I want on my sandwich.
Take my sandwich. Shove it up your ass, pull it back out of your ass, show it the lettuce, put it back in your ass, pull it out of your ass, give it to me.
Yeah, that's kind of just like show it the shredded lettuce, make it acquainted with the shredded lettuce, and that's how far I'm going to go.
Aware of its existence.
Aware of its existence, and then give me the sandwich. Because as I say, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to take the sandwich, I'm going to go out to my car. I'm going to put on my radio. I'm going to listen to some Foghat. I'm going to eat my sandwich.
I'm going to cry while eating my sandwich.
It's like, I'm not going to take this home and eat it like a civilized person. I'm going to go outside this establishment, and I'm going to sit in my front seat and eat this sandwich right in front, staring at you through the window. That's what I'm going to do. And
I'm
going to
cry my guilty food shame tears and eat this sandwich.
Oh, I'm not going to. I'm going to enjoy it. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to sit there and pick out all of the pieces of fucking shredded lettuce that are on my car seat after I've eaten my sandwich. Because you eat it, it just explodes everywhere. It's like confetti. It is literally glitter of the fat man world.
I agree. I do not condone shredded lettuce. It shouldn't be in anything. It should only ever be just big ass slices of lettuce.
Yeah, or a leaf of lettuce.
Yeah, a leaf's good
too. Yeah, a leaf of lettuce. But you know, and that's also my other part too, is that, you know, you're eating when a deli does a hoagie or a grinder or a sub sandwich, as they do, if you don't split the bun completely, yeah, it's you what you have yourself there is a taco, first of all. And you always end up with everything shooting out the one side of the sandwich.
It's true.
That's a problem for me. You have to have a completely split sandwich, and that's the best way to have a sandwich. I'm going to make that argument right there. Now, I know some Italian guys like, marrone. You can't split the sandwich. You don't split. This is like a Seinfeld bit. You don't split the sandwich.
The only sandwich that you don't split is the meatball sandwich.
You do. Well, you could split a meatball sub.
I don't condone the full split on the meatball sub because then the sauce gets fucking everywhere.
The sauce is going to get everywhere regardless.
If you're a careful eater with a big fucking mouth like me, you can make sure that the sauce doesn't go anywhere, provided that the sandwich is not fully split.
Yeah, it's the problem is that, Steve, the problem is that you're looking at it from the perspective of, this is how they most places do it, in that they dump a fuck ton of red sauce on your meatball sub. You don't have to dump a ton of red sauce on the meatball sub. You don't.
But I like a ton of red sauce on a meatball sub.
You don't have to, though, because guess what? With less sauce, it's actually a better sub.
I don't know about this. This sounds like heresy.
Hey, it's like we live in an Olive Garden world where everything is drenched in sauce. It doesn't need to be. When you see, generally, when I see a ton of sauce on a pasta dish or a sub like that, it generally means that this is going to be something inferior because they're using the sauce to cover up their inferiority.
This is dangerously seditious talk, and I'm going to have to alert the bread stoppo of your
bread stoppo
of your traitor's dialogue.
You have to be careful, and you have to be quick, though. I think the bread stoppo officer is in cosplay playing in a Star Wars tournament right now. yeah, but anyway, let's get, as much as I love sandwich talk. Welcome to Sandwich Talk. I'm your host, Joe, and with me as always is Steve. Today we're going to be talking about the Salvatore, which is one of Joe's favorite sandwiches.
I'm talking about the new rule sets for the breakfast Dagwood.
The breakfast. You know what my favorite sandwich is when I go to an Italian deli? I will tell you this. What you do is you just get the bread, you get it split, balsamic vinegar, prosciutto, fresh mozz, sun-dried tomatoes. That's it. Sometimes you can add spinach. That's what I like.
Okay.
It is honestly one of my favorite, but you got to get the balsamic vinegar. That's the only way it works. If you don't get the balsamic, you might as well just throw the thing out.
I see. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, the balsamic.
The balsamic.
Balsamic vinegar.
I'm trying to think of some way to do a sandwich-based miniatures game.
No way. And then you know what I always find weird is, like, I think it's in England they have, like, brown sauce. Have you ever heard of that?
I believe I've heard this mentioned, yes.
It's very weird. I don't really know what it's for. I mean, I think it's, like, A1, like, it's a steak sauce.
Yeah, I think so.
And yeah, it's, like, I think it's HP is what it's called, as opposed to, like, A1. I don't really know. Like, they always say it, like, it's, like, it goes on meat, right? But I never had A1 on steak sauce ever since the 1980s when people figured out that they were cooking steaks wrong. Like, it was one of those moments. Like, you know how with apes, they'll be like, all of a sudden one ape will be like, hey, if I use this rock to hit this rock, all of a sudden I can create fire. And then, like, for some odd reason, there's, like, inexplicably every ape on the planet knows how to make fire. Have you heard about this?
No.
It's like the spontaneous tool making idea that I guess they observed it. And on one side of the river, these apes were using this one thing as a tool. They figured out how to do it spontaneously. And then spontaneously, another group of apes figured it out right afterwards. Like, for some reason, this knowledge spread really quickly. There was some point between, like, I want to say 92 and 93, when all of a sudden most of the Western world figured out that, like, oh, we're not supposed to cook our steaks well done. Like, when we do that, all of a sudden it ruins the steak, because everyone just overcooked their steaks before the 1990s. Am I right in saying that, Steve?
That's probably accurate. Yeah.
Like, everyone just was like, this is how you cook it. And that's why, like, Donald Trump likes his steak well done with ketchup. Because he's from that time period, and, like, a lot of boomers like their steaks well done with, like, a steak sauce, like A1. And it's like, I like A1, but it's not, like, something I want on my steak, because my steak is properly cooked and it doesn't need steak sauce in order to be digested properly. I don't need
I really
to
like A1 on eggs.
Yeah, A1 on eggs is fantastic, but you don't need to lube your throat to get that dense charcoal meat down. Right?
It's true. No, you're right.
Yeah, I don't need to lube my esophagus in order to get this chunk of animal flesh.
This hockey
puck of animal flesh down. But yeah, the British have some, but I mean, like, if you're gonna have something, like, don't call it brown sauce. Like, I'm just gonna throw that out there. The rest of the world's gonna kind of look at you a little side-eyed on that bit. Like, if you want to call it HP, that's fine. I'm going to put some HP sauce on my steak. Oh, what's HP sauce? Well, it's this, this, and this, and this. But if someone says, I'm going to put some brown sauce on my steak, that sounds like some weird-ass Star Wars sci-fi thing. Right? Like blue milk.
It's true. It's true. You're like, correct.
We look at blue milk as a weird thing in sci-fi, because it's like, oh, it's like we're familiar with milk, but we've never seen blue milk before. Obviously, sci-fi. So
milk's not supposed to be blue.
Yeah, milk's not supposed to be blue. So in the sci-fi world, blue milk works because it's sci-fi and it's not real. We're in the real world and you have something called brown sauce. Like, immediately I'm going to go, that's not right. Like, yes, sauce should probably be brown, but it should be like some sort of descriptive sauce. Like, I'm going to put some HP sauce on there. So you're like, okay, it's a specific brand name, and therefore it's going to have a very specific taste. Brown sauce, it could be anything. More than likely, it's poop.
I want to watch the. I don't watch the movie adaptation of your war against brown sauce.
I don't have a
brown sauce.
I don't have a problem with brown sauce. I have a problem with the name brown sauce.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, so you know what? There you go. What you just said. That's like one of the stinger bits. Like, there's a court trial, and there's like, what do you mean? And it's you, and you're on the stand. You're like, I don't have a problem with the sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a problem with the name. And then, like, and then the court is erupting, and the judge is like, you know, slamming the gavel.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then there's a really then it cuts to a rainy scene on the top of a skyscraper. There's just rain pouring on your head. It's like something in the way.
Yeah, you know, it would be like if Ed Spettigew took us out for like a meal when we worked at Games Workshop, right? And be like. Mm-hmm. Right, we're going to put some proper shit sauce on this. And you're like, what? And he's like, I'm put some shit sauce on a steak. And you're like, you're going to put shit sauce on there? Oh, yeah, it's a real British thing. We put shit sauce on everything. And we're like, shit sauce? He's like, yeah, it's not really made from shit. I'm like, yeah, but why do you call it shit sauce?
You put it on shit.
Exactly. It's like, well, it's because we put it on shit. And you're just like, I don't know. Yeah, I can't do this. I can't do this. I get up and I do the Seinfeld where my hands are up and I'm like, I'm done.
Yes, perfect.
Okay, done. But anyway, yes, this is my angry thing. What else? I got to look at my list of things I wanted to talk about. Did you see the new trailer for Indiana Jones?
I saw that it was out, but I have not watched it.
Yeah, it's fine. My big problem with many of these three trailers came out the other day. It was like Indiana Jones, Mario, and there was something else. I think it might have been a Marvel movie, maybe. There was the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 trailer. And it almost said Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's some early Game Classy way of doing things.
Yes.
But all three of them have songs that are slowed down and played for dramatic effect, and it's really obnoxious. So like Indy and Mario have like their main themes just slowed down versions of the main themes.
Yes, that's true, because it's like dun, 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 dun. yeah
so yeah, that's it's weird, and I don't like this trend. It's been going on for a while. I know Black Panther did it. I know, yeah, most movies that have come out lately have done that, and I think it's a horrible trend in trailers. And I wish more people would speak out about it so that they stop doing it.
hey, cut it out.
Yeah, hey, knock that shit off. Put some shit sauce on it.
Put some shit sauce on that.
Yeah, the indie trailer looks fine. Whatever, he's gonna go back in time.
I've heard the thing I heard about the movie is that the ending is troubled right now. Apparently, they've shown test audiences five different endings, and nobody likes any of the endings they've come up with.
I just don't know why they're making a fifth Indiana Jones movie. He's like 90 years old.
Because member berries.
Well, that's exactly it. I always think of like how much I hated Crystal Skull. It was like the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. But whatever. I don't know. I was like, I can like you look at the fucking, what's that thing called? The prairie dogs at the beginning with the CG prairie dogs. And I just remember I remember being in the theater and seeing the Paramount logo transition to the prairie dog hill. Because that was always the cool thing in Indiana Jones, is like the Paramount logo would transition to something. And in like the first one, it's the mountain. And then they go to that whole opening of Raiders, which is one of the greatest movie openings of all time. Temple of Doom, it comes into the big gong. And then they do Anything Goes. And I think Mandarin or Cantonese. I don't know which one, but it's like this and then you, it's, you're like, what am I watching? And then they go into the, like, Indiana Jones doing the negotiation things, and it's like, Nurhaci, the last emperor of the Manchu dynasty. It's like this fantastic opening. I love it. And then even Last Crusade, it goes into, like, the Boy Scout thing. And that's fantastic. Like, that whole train fight is great. And then so it's like, okay, what am I going to watch with Crystal Skull? And then it turns into a CG Prairie Dog Hill. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, and my best friend and one of my good friends can reiterate that I just immediately went, oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, and then you have that whole warehouse chase, which is fine, but the warehouse chase shouldn't have been connected to anything else in the movie, because it is connected and it doesn't make any sense after it's connected.
Yes.
There's many, many problems with that movie. Oh, well. But anyway, do we have any other gaming stuff to talk about? I know we spent most of the second half not talking about gaming stuff.
I don't.
No. All right, then go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way that you can get in contact with us, which is sad because the Game Classy Facebook page is hard for Steve and myself to get to. You can like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You can like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. You can follow Steve at @command_throw on the Elon Musker.
I don't think it's going to be, I don't know how much longer it's going to exist, but yeah, you know, come watch it crumble.
Come watch it crumble. Yeah, I think it's actually Steve is now tweeting at @_Nazi_Kanye. That poor guy, he really needs help.
At this point we're past the Rubicon.
He has crossed the Rubicon for sure, but
yeah.
The problem is he's too rich and famous, and America loves to watch someone who was once on top fall. They do. They absolutely adore that. And he needs help. He really needs help. I'm not excusing his behavior because of his mental issues. I'm just saying he has mental issues and he needs help. Not all people who have mental issues are going to go around saying they like Hitler in front of Alex Jones, but some of them would, and they would then receive help, and he needs help, but no one wants to give him help because they like seeing him fall. It's kind of like the Britney Spears thing where, you know, she went crazy because she needed help, but no one wanted to help her because they liked watching the crazy unfold. And it's not good. And I think in the future, we're going to look back and say, like, yeah, we really shouldn't have made fun of Kanye. We should have gotten him help. So there's that. Scoopity poop.
Scoopity poop.
Scoopity poop. Anyway, that's the sad note that on which the podcast may end. You could follow me at @command_throw at Game Classy Joe on the Instagram. I'm actually getting back into my painting groove again, so it's going well. I finished up. I just posted my Stargrave squats. So
nice.
Yeah, I went back and I pulled out the old box, dusted it off, and I was like, I'm going to do all squats for this game. Because right now it's like, for games, I have this choice of either my old metal stuff or I'm going to print off newer stuff. So I'm like, Stargrave kind of is like an old metal game. So I'm going to get some old metal figures out and do that. I don't necessarily need to print out figures for that one, even though there are some very good sci-fi 3D printing games out there. Cyberforge does really good stuff.
I think I've seen some really good stuff.
Yeah. Papsicles is another one that I really like for the sci-fi stuff. And there's some places that do like old school kind of Rogue Trader style stuff. It's not often you see it, but there's some people who do it. They don't do it great, but I did want to toss out a last minute Kickstarter. I wish I had it up. I just have it as Turnip War. I don't remember the name of the actual Kickstarter. It's like T28, something like that. I will try and find it out before the next big Kickstarter. But it is a it's all that turnip war, so it's like that weird Napoleonic.
Oh yes, yes, I remember the turnip stuff on Twitter. Right, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're doing an actual Kickstarter now, which looks interesting. Oh, cool. So I will try and find it and maybe post it on the Game Classy Facebook page. I don't know if they listen or not, but I know that some of them are, at least some of the players do. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I love the turnip stuff. It's super weird. I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's very weird aesthetic to it, which I like as well. I don't know if it's like a mass rank game. I just saw it. I don't even know if it's up yet, if it's just in previews. Yeah, I don't watch that many Kickstarters nowadays just because I have so much stuff already, but it was one that caught my eye on that end. Yeah. All right. So Steve, until next time.
It's been a long time
getting from here. It's been a long time.
But a time is finally here.
Bye.
Later.
Game Classy.